Fishing too. Oh, yeah. It's that time. Leaf is here. We're going to do a little fishing report. How are you doing,
Oh,
Leaf?
Yeah. Man, I'm doing good.
Yeah. Did you get out
this morning?
I mean, we're recording yesterday. This, but yesterday is the day I'm thinking of. I mean, what a classic day, man.
Yeah. Well, I told you yesterday's fishtail. That was such a beautiful blue jay day, too.
Yeah.
Like a powder day on the ski hill, only
New
on the
snow,
river.
Oh, it was pretty. And then the clouds cleared for the beautiful day.
Yeah, got out with my buddy Chris yesterday, put away a few more whitefish, got into a couple other fish, watched a big old, I guess, steelhead, from my point of view, upstream of him, bash his bobber on the way in. Just looked like a bow wake off an invisible boat chasing it in.
Could just submarine!
Hear him go, oh! Like I've said to people, and I told him then, well, that's what you get for using an egg-colored bobber, man.
Yeah.
Keep those bobbers white.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
I mean, it's harder to see. You're going to come out with more of an eye strain headache at the end of the day, but it blends in with the ice or foam on the water, I think, a lot better. Not that I haven't had a white bobber taken, but, man, 9 out of 10 times more when it looks like a floating egg skein. And, and you really can't blame
them. It just goes to prove that fish are not colorblind.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, great day yesterday. Had just a little bit. Well, basically played hooky today. I'll probably get in trouble with my wife. I was supposed to do some chores. I know.
I don't think
she's listening at school, but hopefully not. Anyway, got out for like an hour, we'll say. Yeah, it was actually an hour, maybe an hour and 15.
Yeah.
And in that amount of time, I just couldn't believe how many nice fish I got. Just
really?
Here in the kind of just south of Twisp area. First drift through, floating through my homemade glow bug or egg, just doing some little egg patterns that look like the coho eggs, because there's still a few, like I say, coho, dropping them here. And first swing through, I just kind of didn't believe it when I saw the bobber go down that it was a fish. And sure enough, I pulled up. I thought, I'd like to drag it, you know, to where it's really nitty gritty down.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that bobber's under surface for an inch or two, and it didn't come back up. So when I checked, you could feel it come out of definitely a fish's lips. And I was like, oh, shoot. Second drift wasn't really there. Third drift was right back in there. Big old cutbow.
That's
and
cool.
That thing was just a hog and a great fight. And I did a few more drifts through, got into another, it looked like more pure rainbow, probably about 17, 18 inches. And I tried to, it was smaller than the cut bow. So I tried to kind of just bring it in faster. And I don't know. It's just, I just try to, if I'm not going to keep them, or I guess even then, I'm just trying to get them in expeditiously, you know? And I just, I guess, didn't take it seriously. That thing jumped almost like 2 feet or better out of the water.
Wow.
Really more spry than I thought it would be. Proceeded further down the run. And I really, like I say, like to get that thing down there, even though I'm technically nymphing, I'm using a split shot and either chronomid or in this case, the yarn eggs, and I'll get a nice knuckle-dragging drift that's about half speed of the current, and then I'll try to swing it out where I can feel it ticking across and just hope to feel that sucking back at it. And sure enough, it just stopped and pulled the rod up to my cheek, kept stripping until I could feel it, and sure enough, started waving, and man, proceeded to fight really good after that, and that was a big old stacked up, probably 18-inch cutthroat, very pure male.
You had all this action before
like
work
an hour,
in an hour?
An hour and 15 minutes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and so I was just super stoked, and yeah, that was so. That was 1 hour and 15 minutes today on the Menhow, and so you're just really looking for those temperatures that are just any. If you're looking at temperatures above 30, then you're potentially really looking at some pretty hot fishing. And I could see that today was going to get near 40, so I thought definitely going to be good.
You know, you describe some pretty nuanced technique, the way you present, the way you let it drift down and stuff. You know, I think that it's interesting that. There's always something to learn.
Definitely.
And later on, folks, we're going to, you know, Leaf will tell you how to get hold of him. And take a trip with Leaf on some part of the river some time of the year because, like I said, there's always something to learn. And when you do that, you learn more about fish, you learn more about biology, sometimes entomology.
I mean,
it's amazing what you learn.
Well, you know, and I was even thinking today, you know, in the middle of that whole session, how much I have learned in the last 5, 10 years about winter fishing in particular. I mean, I'm always learning every time a lot of time, even from my clients, whether it's on how to be a better teacher for them or even just learning direct fishing, just where fish pop out of, and it surprises me, and I wouldn't have tried it because they fish a little differently. Mm-hmm. But even now with winter fishing, I feel like I've learned a lot in this last 5 or 10 years, and it's just become a lot more fun. I used to have no clue kind of where a lot of the fish were going, and I guess I didn't really do a lot of fishing in the wintertime unless it was for steelhead. And, you know, they're a very sluggish fish in the wintertime, and so it's really fun to get into these other fish that are a little bit better in cold blood. You know, they're just some of these fish, like I say, are really, really fighting today and just so pretty.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's great, yeah, to learn just by being out there and getting to spend so many hours. Definitely feel lucky to be able to just step out the door and just every day on this.
Yeah, place. We would all say, yes, you are lucky. No, you got the perfect job. I mean, even when you're not on the water or you're at work.
Yeah.
It's all about fish with
you. So. You know, knowing about those coho comes from doing the surveys and listening to the folks and just realizing, holy cow, there's still fish out there laying eggs. You'd think everything's going to stop for the winter out there. There's still that few fish out there lingering on, dropping eggs.
I always think that's interesting the way that just sort of, yes, it's spawning season, but there's the season is also extended, and that's really part of Mother Nature, being there to adapt, you know, in case of something odd happening.
Well, and I think the creatures here are still adapting because this coho program is in this recent 10 years, it's really grown and matured so much. We have that many more fish coming up river that the eagles are learning there's another round of food here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and even the smaller fish here in the water are going to get another round of flesh that comes off those dying carcasses. They're going to get a opportunity to eat all those eggs, and like we've talked about in this last few weeks, even from the whitefish digging through the gravel just to get to them, it's just it's a great resource for them.
Speaking of whitefish, you mentioned you hooked into a few. Before we got on the air, we had a little culinary treat. You had a couple of different versions of whitefish, and just in case you have not gone out for whitefish, man, they are tasty.
Yeah,
Leaf did a lemon, was it?
Lemon dill.
A lemon dill, which was really good. And the other one was?
Brown sugar and sea salt.
Sea salt, okay.
Yeah, I think I could have gone with a little more brown sugar to really taste super sweet, but I think that was good, you know, neutral.
And they were smoked as well.
Yeah, smoked and then canned. And man, holy cow. Yeah, when I smoke them, it's really just to kind of get that flavor in there. So I'll introduce the smoke really heavy. And just try to get the skin to start to peel off the outside of the meat and get the bones to start to pop away.
Yeah.
And so it should still be fairly, not watery, but still very moist.
Yeah.
It's definitely not done. You wouldn't want to eat it yet.
Yeah.
But when you get it to that point, I was able to slide the skin, push the skin right off with my thumbs, and the meat came right off. Maybe in a couple cases I had to gently push with a fork, but it came right off the bones.
Cool.
You know, like I say, when we were tasting that, it definitely, right when you pop it, smells a little bit like tuna fish, has that texture.
It's similar. It's white. It
holds right up, you know? And then, boy, holy cow, that flavor.
Hey, man.
Holy cow.
It's a delicacy all around the world, and the fact that it's right here in our rivers means, hey, give it a try.
I'm very happy with it, and I can't encourage other people enough to take advantage of it. I know it's not the average fare for folks out here, but... it's an incredible meat. It's very clean, and it's right out of our local water here.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to throw out there really quick, I'm working with some folks up there at the Chewuk River Guest Ranch now.
Oh, good.
We'll be providing some trips out of there. They have over a mile and a half, almost 2 miles of private property along the riverfront there on the Chewuk, and that's always kind of been the tough issue with the Chewuk is that a lot of it is private property.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right below that portion where you really start to get public access, so it kind of tapes right on or glues right on to the tail end of that other stuff you'd be able to fish anyway. And in that area, when floating through, I've gotten some nice fish.
I was going to say, it probably doesn't get fished all that much because of the lack of accessibility.
You're right. And so they also do horseback rides. And for those adventurous folks, this time of the year, like I've been thinking about, they rent snowmobiles. So you could shoot up the Chewuk and fish those areas above the 8 Mile where we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that all that area around the ranch.
Okay, so Chewuk Guest Ranch.
Yeah, I'll put up their information on my Facebook page and on the website there, too, where people can always call me and get the info or stuff like that.
Yeah.
So any other info you need as far as checking out the blog or podcast, you can find that at flyfishersproshop.com. You can get a hold of me on the old interwebs at madhowfishingadventures@gmail.com, and you can give me a call the old-fashioned way at 509-429-7298. Thank our sponsors over there at North 40 Fly Shop. You can get all your Christmas gifts for your fly fishing folk and the family over there. Check them out at north40flyshop.com. And hey, y'all, stay warm. Don't fall in right now because it's kind of cold, but get that fish right on, baby.